Wednesday night service. This is the GTTN Ministries. We want to welcome you that are listening on the web, listening on our website. Such a great night that we get to share. We have intimate knowledge that we just like to share with everybody that's listening, and we hope that you can be blessed by it. This week, there's a lot happening, and one thing I do know is we spoke a message on Sunday about spiritual warfare and how we always have to be on guard every single day, because let me tell you, if you don't believe that there is powers and principalities and dark forces that are at work all the time, there is. And it's so easy for anybody, I don't care who you are, everybody is susceptible to fall because of the negative influences that happen on a daily basis. Where they attack you is they attack you in your mind. Constantly, our minds are always bombarded with thoughts, with fears, with worries, concerns, and it's our job to be aware of this type of stuff and just recognize it and resist it. You know, the Bible says resist and the enemy will flee.
We've been talking about with this spiritual warfare, grace and glory. Pastor breaks down grace as a knowledge, and it's the truth is what it is. Tim just said how the lies come into your mind, and this is how the spiritual warfare happens. The lies come into your mind, and what grace is the truth that battles the lies. Grace is the truth about God to you. It's the truth about what God is going to do and what he does and what he has done for you. It's personal. And glory is defined as this. Glory is actually the action word of applying grace. Glory is the transformation process of applying grace. It's actually we're transformed from glory to glory to glory. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And when you keep listening to grace rather than the lies in your mind that try to separate you from God, keep listening to grace and applying it in your life and resisting the lies. Tim just said the greatest thing, to resist the lies and keep believing the truth. Keep believing the truth. And we've spoken message after message after message of truth in here, and we have 1,000 messages out there with nothing but truth. And, you know, Pastor used to call it the oracles, or what used to call it, that's good, the oracles, whatever. But this wisdom will defeat the lies in your mind that cause fear, worry, and anxiety. And glory is actually the transformation process. It's you being transformed by changing the way you think. It's stopping the lies in your mind, and it's actually listening and applying the truth inside of you. Like, all things work together for good for those who love God. God will, by never means ever hurt you. You know, there's scriptures out there that go for you, but there's also scriptures that are written on your heart that go against the lies that are happening to you in your mind.
They're called the mysteries and the ancient secrets.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's so true, because it's been around since the foundations of the world. And God's intentions was for us to live by grace. And one of the things is, you know, we're coming into a new age, and I've been sharing how we're entering into a new age. And through this new age, God is pouring out his grace. And that grace is a knowledge of how we're free, how we're set free. Their sin doesn't exist. Sin is actually birth through the lust, the enticing of our lustful desires. When the reality is, we need to deny our ego or our self-interest and die daily so that we can be renewed to a divine nature. Which is the immortality rather than being mortal.
Right.
To come into the immortality and to enter into a realm of glory, which it literally is a place. It's a place where if in the world you have death, sickness, disease, you have lies, you have influences of worry and fear, where you are tormented, where you have another place, which is called the realm of glory or the kingdom of God. And that place there is a place of joy and a peace and a righteousness, where you have a sense of ecstasy, where it's like almost you're comatosed on an exceedingly euphoria. But it's actually has a lot to do with warfare. Yep. Warfare, and we spoke Sunday on spiritual warfare, and Pastor Tim and I we had a quick chat this morning, and we just felt it was necessary to kind of elaborate a little more on this spiritual warfare, because in order to get to glory, you really need to understand spiritual warfare, because the place that we're talking about is a spiritual place. It's not a natural place. It's not like going to Disneyland or, you know, some vacation where you'll have a moment of relaxation in a place of peace, but then you got to go face reality again. This is a place where you can live through the storm.
This is real reality.
This is real reality. Yes, true. Exactly. Absolutely right. Pastor Sam is dead on, because the spiritual world is more real than the natural realm.
It's eternal.
It's eternal. And we are conditioning ourselves to leave this earth and leave this earthly body into another world, into another realm. And that realm is eternal. You know, I used to share a lot, like, our bodies are filled with the spirit. And if you take the spirit out of the body just drops. Yeah. There's no way of having the body go on without the spirit. The spirit is the full life of the individual. There's nothing else that keeps the body alive. Even though you can't drain all your blood, you know. You pull all the blood out of your body drops. But, you know, there's a spirit that's inside the body. For somehow or another, it's connected to that blood.
You can honestly say there is spirits connected to the body.
Oh, very much.
Because you got the spirit of God, but you have other spirits that also dwell in the house.
Yeah.
And that's where the awareness comes into place.
You know, it's good that you said that, because, you know, we speak of the Bible and we know the prophet Jesus, and we know a lot about Jesus. And if you would keep logging on, you'll have a great understanding about who Jesus is. Jesus is the prophet that kind of instructs the Christian sect of religion, where you have other prophets. But, you know, Jesus, we find, is really the only one that really had the full truth of the relationship of the Father, but that's grace. Whole nother message. He knew grace and he knew glory, and that is the full truth. So I would say that he was the one who literally had the full truth of the message of God.
Yeah.
So with that being said, there was a scripture verse where Jesus met a man in the graveyard, and he walked to him and he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "Legions."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Legions," and he says, "Because there are many of us."
Yeah.
So, yes, there are many spirits that are influenced within ourselves.
Yeah.
The object is to get so full of the divine nature of Christ, which is the main spirit of, I would say, good, and then demolish or resist so that these other spirits flee.
And they don't manifest anymore.
Yes, you know they don't. I mean? They don't come into interaction with us. Yeah. And they bring friends and, you know, all that other stuff, and, you know, it's a big mess to have lots of these demonic influences inside of us.
Yeah.
And even Paul said, and he was another one, he was an apostle, well, not actually an apostle, he came after Jesus, but he became a part of the apostleship of that era. He even said, why do I do the things that I keep doing that I don't want to do? And he referred it to as sin dwelling inside of him. But I also really look at it as, I look at it as sin is connected to that lustful desires, and those lustful desires are influenced by a dark manifestation that we can't control.
We can't, that's right.
Yeah, but there is a way to be free, resist.
Yep.
That is the key. Dark demonic forces need food. And the more we feed them, the more they hang out. So, for example, let's take an obvious one, alcohol. And let's say it's attached to alcoholism. And this spirit is attached by alcoholism. And if you resist alcohol, you eventually resisted the desire to have alcohol will eventually leave. And you aren't feeling that lust of desire of that addiction or what have you, and then that spirit that's causing you to constantly run after a drink and you can't control yourself actually leads. So if there's any substance to our listeners out there that you cannot control yourself, that in itself is a lie. You can control yourself. There is nothing in this world called an addiction. Okay, that in itself is a big lie. I don't believe in addictions. I believe that that is just a scapegoat for them to have excuses to continue to go on with what their lust desires are.
The lust actually feeds it, because your lust is saying, no, I like it.
Yeah, they like it.
I love it. I want to continue to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's what continues to make those things manifest, is because they like it, they love it, and they don't want to stop.
Well, the real truth is they're looking for something out that they can't find. There's a void in everybody out there. It's a groaning. They're looking for something, and nothing's filling it.
And that's filling it. That lust
exactly.
is filling
it's
it.
It's a temporary filling of that, and really quiets God's call. It quiets every voice in your head. I mean, God's always, I believe God's, you know, always calling us, always wooing us. I mean, I believe he is, and you know, it's hard to shut off the conviction. You just gotta, or it eventually becomes condemnation, but you just keep drinking or smoking, whatever you're doing, and eventually, you know, you shut that off and you become like a zombie. Pastor talked earlier about, you know, people who are like who have lost a spirit, and there are people who are still living who've lost the will to live. They lost the spirit here. They lost all hope. They've lost it all, and they just lay there and they just die. You've seen, you know, people like that who've just given up on life and just laying in a bed all day long and just they give up, you know?
You know, we talked about it earlier. It's like God eventually gives you over to a debased mind.
Correct.
Because you have no self-control and you're not trying to resist and overcome the things that are always manifesting, you know?
You love the flesh.
Correct.
More.
Correct.
There's an ego pleasure.
Yep. Correct.
Of self-centeredness.
Yeah. Feeding yourself.
That they love. They love the attention, they love the atmosphere, they love whatever it is, their ego is built up into it, they feel good about it, somehow or another, they feel good, and that darkness, the thing that is creating that entity of lust, conforms.
Yeah,
correct.
And then it births sin.
Yep.
Once that sin is birthed, it becomes a demonic entity within you.
Yeah.
Every bit of sin is connected to a demonic force, an entity, a demonic entity. So if it's like you have many sins, you have many demons.
Right. Many entities.
Yeah, but most people don't just have one. They don't have control. If you don't have control in one area, you're not going to have control in any area. You're just going to be a mess, really. I mean, it's just going to be, that's why you said legions.
Yeah,
there's many issues.
Well, this is the thing. It all starts like a little leaven spoils a whole bunch.
Yeah.
I know individuals who I love dearly who have started out in the right direction.
Yeah.
But because of the lust and self-pity, I'm going to tell you right now, self-pity is a big one.
Yeah.
No one understands. No one cares. No one this. No one that. So there's demonic forces that tend to work on our thoughts to cuddle us and to try to separate us from the world so that they can have influence and power on you. And then when they become your best friend, then they begin to start inviting all their friends. So the one sin begins to start. Then that, I want to call, is the strong man.
Yeah.
And then the next one, they begin to start inviting all their other little friends, and to the point where they're so egoistic, and it don't matter because they can know all kinds of, you know, truth, I guess you can say, or scriptural references or what have you. I got to step out for a minute, but sure. I want you guys to carry over on this.
Well, it's like we've been saying, and we've been saying this phrase
for the last
2 weeks. We've been saying. You know, the scripture says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and though I have all the mysteries of the Godhead, it doesn't matter, because it says if you don't have love, you're nothing.
Right.
So you can know all the scriptures, you can know have the best preaching in the world, But if you don't have love, compassion, you know, mercy on people, then you have nothing. You're just basically, it says you're a clanging cymbal and a tinkling brass. So, you know, that's, you know, and self-control, you got to start somewhere.
You have to.
I mean, start with the little things, yep. like control your temper, control your attitude, control your mouth. Start with that. You're not going to be able to get the straw man out from the beginning. There's little roots all around them, and you might be able to, but you know, the best way is to start controlling yourself. Control what comes out of your mouth. Start trying to control your peace, your joy, your happiness, and don't allow fear, worry, and anxiety to manifest. You got to start seeing what's triggering you. See, everybody's got triggers. And you know, like Pastor always says, you think you're doing great until you lose your keys. Be late for something and lose your keys. Then you'll see how much control you have over yourself. Then you're going to see how much control that you have when you're freaking out, throwing the sofa against the wall, trying to find your keys because you're late. You know, we have to have self-control. And that means having a peaceful spirit, a peaceful, you know, joyful, expecting the best. See, we expect the worst. And that's not good. When you expect the worst, that's when fear, worry, and anxiety comes in. You're going to have stimulus your whole life. You're always going to have things rising up in front of you. Always have, do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go left? Do I go right? And you have to have peace. You have to have a place of peace and joy where you can just sit back and wait for the direction. Instead of being rushed through from emotion or fear or worry, there has to be this place established within you where you can just sit back and wait and just feel. You're going to feel a direction. You're going to feel a peace in a certain direction. You're going to feel a peace, or you're going to feel a check in your spirit. And that's what you got to start cultivating.
Yeah, speaking about what Pastor Sam just elaborated on what he said is, you know, when you get that inner feeling, it starts with the feeling of, I want to change. I'm tired of the way I've been acting or the habit I've been involved in. There has to be a willingness and a surrender to want to change. Once you're able to do that, then it starts with, okay, now I need to be aware of every time this desire or this lust or whatever wants to come up and manifest. Once you see that, then you can start to resist each time. Now, look, you're not going to change instantly overnight. It's a process, you know, so don't beat yourself up and say, ah, damn it, you know what, I slipped up again.
You didn't get where you were overnight.
Correct.
It took this many years to get where you're at.
It took this many years to be where you're at. Exactly right. So once you're aware and you start to the process of resisting this thing, okay, eventually when you start to manifesting this and you're actually resisting it, eventually it starts to decrease inside of you. The pull that it has on you, the strong man, eventually starts to dwindle a little bit because you're starting to overcome it. Now, Pastor Sam and I have been involved in ministry for years, along with Pastor Jim, and we've seen other ministries out there that go around and they're yelling and screaming and doing all this kind of hocus pocus stuff, thinking they're battling these spirits, you know, in the spirit realm. That's a bunch of horse baloney. It really is. It doesn't make any sense that nobody's getting changed. There's no effectiveness going on. What we're telling you tonight, these are crucial keys if you want to be healed, delivered, and set free from habits or these entities that are manifesting in your life.
It goes back to what we said when we first started the message. It's grace and glory. There are tapes. I mean, CD after CD after CD. We have a website, glorytothenations.org. There's a thousand messages on there, and it's gonna break down what we're saying in a lot more detail. It's gonna start giving you keys and giving you weapons and giving you wisdom to battle. And learn how to resist. It's not something you can just start doing. It's something you have to learn. And the messages that we speak in here are going to teach you and give you the tools that you can so you can battle. Remember, grace is the knowledge of God for you. You know, it doesn't matter if there's a knowledge of God. It has to be a knowledge of God for you. It has to be personal. It has to be God's going to do something for you. I mean, God can do something for everybody in the world, but not for me. No. It's for you. That grace is a knowledge of basically, He wrote a law in your heart. And there's an expectation, there's a hope, there's a feeling of euphoria that something good's going to happen, something incredible's going to happen. And, you know, you have to battle the lies in your mind. And once you start applying these truths, once you start applying them and fighting the battles and resisting the enemy, you're going to start seeing your life changing. This is called the transformation process. Your mind is renewed and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way to come from where you are with fear, worry, and anxiety, and come to that place of letting it all go and finding that place of peace and joy and happiness is by being transformed and not being the old person. See, it's not like you're being fixed. You're not being souped up. You're being transformed into an entirely different being.
Yeah.
You're going from being a flesh being that cares and has worries and fears to a spiritual being. Paris, I talked about it earlier. There's a euphoria. There's a peace. There's a joy that comes because you're being transformed. And once you start being transformed, that's all you want. You just chase that feeling of utter bliss, of you're being changed by every truth that you're receiving. And I meditate on these messages over and over and over again. And I've been here for a long time, but I'll tell you what, sometimes I listen to the same message four or five times in the same week because I just keep getting more and more and more. And it just helps me control myself. Because listen, we all need help. None of us are above help. None of us are above reproach. You know, we're all being tried and tested for God to show himself in us. And so we can let go and have self-control to be able to let go of that old life and not try to preserve it. You know, that's the will, trying to keep the will alive and letting it die and moving on to the spirit.
You know, Pastor Sam made a good point about grace. And he said that, you know, with the grace, it's having that knowledge of God in you, you know, and it starts with having faith and believing and having confidence in the knowledge that God has inside of you. I mean, so many people don't know the difference between when God speaks in your heart versus the mind and all the lies and everything that always happens. But in here, we've been on a message for many, many months talking about the revelation and the knowledge of God's word that's within you, and you need to have confidence in that. Faith is literally having confidence of believing that what you're hearing is true. You know, a lot of people, they always say, oh, you know, your heart is deceivingly wicked. Okay, the only reason why it's deceivingly wicked is because a lot of times the lies that come in your head get into your heart, and it deceives you. But if you're able to, like Pastor Sam was saying, if you're able to resist these lies and these temptations and all that type of stuff that's going on, your heart isn't deceivingly wicked. You're going to be hearing that still small voice that God's constantly speaking in your heart. And that thing is going to draw you and move you in directions that sometimes, you know what, our mind's saying, don't do it. You know, because it's trying to lie to you because of the fear and the worry and the anxiety. And God's saying, no, have confidence in him, in you, in your heart. When he's moving you in this direction, follow it. Watch what he does. He'll open up doors that you can't even imagine. That it's like, oh my God, I can't believe this door opened just because I walked this way because I felt led to go this way. And all of a sudden, a miracle took place. I couldn't have got it that myself, but God opened the door to it. I've seen this happen in my life. It's where fear's coming in through my mind, and God's pulling me in this direction, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I can go in that direction. But I end up going that direction, and something miraculous happens, and I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you so much. And there's a praise and a worship that develops inside your heart because you just saw God move when, you know what, if I went the way my mind was telling me, I'd be in a rut. I'd be stuck. Because you know how many people in life are stuck? And Pastor Sam's famous message is, what's the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over and over, but expecting a different result when you're doing the same thing over and over, and it doesn't work. It won't happen. It won't happen. That's why we're preaching grace in here, and they need faith to go along with the grace. Because it says, you are saved by grace through faith. But you need the faith to believe in the grace that you're given.
Amen. You know, a lot of times, you know, every one of us goes through tough times. You know, not one of us up here has not gone through a tough time or isn't going through a tough time at the current moment. True. But, you know, a lot of times we blame ourselves. You know, even for the way we act, even for what comes out of our mouth, we're blaming ourselves. And, you know, we spoke a message a long time ago, and Pastor said this. He said, you know, on the day you were chosen by God to come back into this world, all of your sufferings were chosen on that day. Everything you're going to have to go through in life, whether it be good or bad, your life was chosen. Your whole entire life has been chosen for you. For who he foreknew, he predestined to become the children of God. It says, who he foreknew, he predestined to become the children of God. I can't say any clearer than that. He predestined you. Your life has been laid out. It says all of your days are counted by God. There isn't one day that you messed up on and God was like, oh, he screwed up again, this idiot. No, God's saying this. I sent you on earth for one reason, to build a character in you. And you're going to have to go through things that aren't going to be pleasing to your flesh. It's not going to be pleasing to you. It's going to go against everything that your flesh stands for. But it's also going to set you free from your flesh if you can get through it. If you don't feed it, if you don't stop there, if you keep pressing forward, you're going to get through every hard time because God's trying to build a character. That's his whole goal. If you understand what God's goal is, he's trying to create himself inside of you. We're being transformed into the love of God, and that's what we're being transformed in. And the love of God has no judgment. It has no fear. It has no worry. It has no anxiety. It's a truth. It's a transforming truth.
You know, it's great that he brought that up about, you know, you're being transformed into the image of God. It's himself inside of you, and he's implanted everything through the divine nature called Christ that's within you. And that's his image. He placed that inside of you from the foundations of this world. And the problem with the world is we never could come alongside and actually see this divine nature because there was no awareness to it. You know, up until now, you know, I mean, in the time of Jesus and the apostles, they were starting to scratch the surface on the divine nature, but they still didn't know the spirit realm and the fact that there's a divine nature living inside of every single person. They just assumed it was Jesus that had the divine nature. But no, God says, I placed the divine nature of myself inside of every single person. So you're unique. You have a divine nature of God inside of you. It makes you unique, different from me, different from Pastor Sam, different from other people that are out there. But we can all be Christ-like because we have that divine nature. We just need the knowledge. We need the grace to open up our eyes and open up our ears. And we have to be able to receive this because this is the trueness of what eternal life is. If you can come into the divine nature, become Christ-like, you will have eternal life. That's how you're saved. You're saved by grace in believing in this Christ-likeness that's inside of you so that you can have a life. You know how many people out there in this world, Pastor Sam, are trying to live a life and they're failing at it because they're living carnally? They're living through their thought processes. Yep. They're living through traditions that were engulfed to them since they were like children. And God's saying, no, I created something better. I've given you my glory inside of you, and all you got to do is receive it. And that's why this ministry here has been raised up, so we can tell people and witness to people inside of your own heart and say, hey, you have Christ in you, and here's how you need to follow it, and you're going to have to find a life, an eternal life, one that's different than we're living now.
It's Pastor Tim said it a little while ago. He was talking about the old-time religion and how we just know what we were taught, and we were taught by people. You know, God wants to teach you from the inside. Yeah. You know, if what you're being taught isn't reflecting what's already in you, and you got to stop listening to those messages. The messages should reflect what's already in you. We're not here to give you a different doctrine than you should already have in you. We're here to confirm the word that has been put inside of you by God. If you're in a church and your messages aren't lining up or aren't bearing witness to what's already in you, and it feels foreign and it feels like it's not right, you got to just search and say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why don't I have what he's saying in me? Why do I feel like what this person's saying isn't right? Because, you know, it's old-time religion. People just take what they've learned over the past 200, 300, 400, 500 years, and they never change. They never change. They never allowed the doctrine to change. You know, even to the doctrine of sin. You know, people are all wrapped up with sin. I don't understand. It's not sin that sends you to hell. It's unbelief that sends you to hell. Sin does not send you to hell. Sin is man-created. Sin is created by man. It says in the Bible that there's a desire. And when that desire isn't dealt with, that desire slowly starts becoming a lust. Like let's say you, like Pastor talked about earlier, you used to be an alcoholic, and all of a sudden you start desiring alcohol again. And if you don't battle that desire of alcohol with truth and put it under your feet and deal with it and get rid of that desire is gonna fester, and it's gonna sit there and keep talking to you. And pretty soon that desire becomes a lust. And the that stage when it becomes a lust is like, I gotta have a beer. Think about lust. I gotta have it. Oh my God, I gotta have a beer. I gotta have it. And that lust takes over your life, and that's all you have is lust. All you can see is, I got to get the beer. I'm not worried about eating or drinking or hanging out. I just got to get the beer. Yep. So that's in your mind, and that lust takes over your body. And and when lust is fully birthed, it conceives sin. So it's desires that men have in their hearts that they have to deal with in order to apply truth to get rid of that desire, or eventually it becomes sin. When lust is fully manifested, it becomes sin. And sin is hopelessness. You know what sin says? Sin says this: I'm never going to get that beer. I quit. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I don't even care about life anymore. I wanted that beer so bad, but I can't have it, so I give up. I don't care about you, me, nothing. I'm just going to lay on the sofa and just sit there and cry and complain about never getting my beer. And that's the last stage of hopelessness, and that's sin. Sin is hopelessness. God is always saying there's hope. There's hope. If you just step back and listen to the messages in this church, in this place, that are preached in this place, you will find hope. These messages will transform you without even you understanding them. We were just talking about it earlier about in Norway. There was a woman who had 15 surgeries on her back. 15 surgeries on her back. She couldn't even sit up straight. She was 50-something years old. I was like, man, this poor woman, her back, she picked up her shirt, had scar after scar after scar after scar of surgeries, and she was mangled, and she couldn't speak English, so we were like, great, how are we going to talk to this woman about God, and she doesn't understand English? Well, during worship, as soon as worship was done, pastor started speaking, and this woman didn't even understand a word he was saying, but she was healed in her seat, without even understanding a word. She was healed in her seat, and her back was healed right there. And 15 surgeries and 55 years old, got up and danced around the building. It's nothing to do. You don't have to understand it right away. Just get it in you. Start listening to the messages over and over and over. It eventually starts becoming a world, and it becomes like a giant world to you. And it all of a sudden, it starts taking shape and starts molding into something. And it starts making sense. And as soon as it starts making sense, something happens inside of you. This excitement comes because you're realizing that, oh my God, I'm getting it. And peace and joy and happiness comes because, you know what? You realize there's something in you that you didn't know was there.
You know, just to back what Pastor Sam was saying about the hopelessness that is sin. You know, when sin is birthed, it's hopelessness. It's also that entity where you have no longer control over yourself, and that habit or that addiction or whatever it is that you once lusted for now has consumed you, and you can't even control it anymore. That's where that entities take over, and it's going to lead to other different manifestations. So let's say that alcoholic is now a full-fledged alcoholic again. Now all of a sudden another addiction might come in. Maybe it's heroin. You know, it leads to something else because there's already a doorway, a gateway that all these different demonic forces now start to come in because the main strong person's inviting these other ones in.
And piggyback on your point real quick.
Yep.
How many people have seen the shows on MTV where they're drug addicts and their whole entire life is spent trying to get those drugs? They lose their life. They don't exist anymore. All that exists is your lust to try to get those drugs every single day. And you do what you gotta do. You go out, you steal, you lie, you cheat. You do what you gotta do to fill that fix. And that's what you become. You become a feeder of that fix. And that's who you become. And you never change because all you're doing is chasing that high. You'll never get it. And your life is over because your whole daily thought is gotta get high. And you lose control, and you are just a walking zombie.
The other point, too, was, you know, Pastor Sam brought up about, you know, you don't make it into heaven because of your sin. You know, that doesn't keep you out. It's your unbelief. You know, unbelief really is unbelief that you don't have the divine nature of God living inside of you. It's like you're no living hope. Your life separate and hopeless from God. That's what keeps you out of a heavenly place. You know, it's not what you did. It's not your transgressions. It's not your sins that took place. The unbelief that you don't have the divine nature, that you don't have a relationship with God, that's what causes the separation and causes you not to find eternal life.
Correct.
It's nothing else. And there's a lot of people out there that are perishing because they're putting the guilt, the shame, and condemnation on their sin on themselves. And God doesn't hold it against them. And they don't have that knowledge because that's what they were taught from their predecessors, from their teachers, from churches or religions or what have you. But the true fact is, no, you have a divine nature living inside of you called Christ, which God appointed and placed it in you since the foundations of this world. You just need to receive it and start believing it through faith and through the grace, the knowledge that God has given you, so that you can work it. Because he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Correct.
It's just you and God in yourself. And that, if you find that, you'll find eternal life. If you don't find it, you won't find eternal life. You'll be in a living hell, like right now. You can have a living hell right now. There's many people out there that are burning up from their desires and their lust and the sin that's manifesting because they lost the hope. They lost the hope thinking, okay, God, you're not there to help me.
Yep.
When all he's doing is he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit of God is a gentleman, and he's not going to force you into a relationship with him. He's got his hand out all the time saying, look, take my hand. It even says in the Bible, he will actually make a bed with you in hell, and he'll make a bed with you in heaven. He's always there. He's always there. He's just looking for you to change. He's saying, look, take my hand. My hand's waiting for you. Just believe that I'm here with you. Just receive my divine nature. Receive Christ in you. That's all he's asking for. And you'll have a relationship with God. It's that easy. But you know what? The world complicated it. Said, oh, well, you know what? You got to do this. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior. You got to admit that he died on the cross for your sin. I mean, you got to go through all this nonsense when really all you got to do is receive God's love, which is his carnate nature, the divine nature called Christ living inside of you. Receive it and believe it, and I guarantee you, God will start to change your life, and you'll start to have these convictions and these unctions, and the convictions will start to change your heart, and you'll say, you know what? I don't feel like picking this cigarette up anymore. You know what? I don't feel like taking this drink anymore. It doesn't do anything for me, and you'll have the confidence and the hope to resist it.
He's not talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Christ, the divine nature that God's put in every single person's heart in this world. Everybody has it. It's not Jesus Christ, it's Christ. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Bible says that he's the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus was the first of many. And we're just following what he taught us. What Jesus taught us was lay down your will. Lay down your desires. Stop trying to keep your will alive. Stop trying to keep your selfishness or yourself alive and just trust God with the plans he wrote on your heart. He has written a life on every single person's heart out there. And the reason why you're suffering, the reason why you're hurting is because you have not found that life. And our whole job here is to help you find that life. We're not here to convert you or to bring you in and have you serve. We're here so that you can find the life in you that God put in there. And our whole job is to help you find it. That's it. We want nothing else from you but to help you find that life and to do all we can to help you get that life and keep proceeding with it.
You know, all we are is a witness. We're a witness of God in you. We're here to attest of him. When we see God manifest, we always say, hey, that's God's glory on you. You know, that's all we are. That's all Jesus was. Jesus was a witness of God. He was attested by God so that he could witness that God lives and dwells in man. That's all it was.
That's it.
You know, same thing with us. Same thing with this whole ministry. We're here to attest to you that God is real and that God lives and dwells inside of you. And all you have to do is receive this. Receive this divine nature, this Christ that we're talking about, and you'll have eternal life. It's not the sin that keeps you out of heaven. It's the unbelief. Unbelief in the divine nature, that the divine nature is in you and that God can have a relationship with you. Because there's so many people that are separated out of there because their minds cause an enmity between them and God. It's the reasoning. It's the fear. It's the worry. It's the lies that are attacking them constantly. And they're not able to resist it. And they're stuck. And that's why we're here. That's why we speak every single Wednesday and Sunday. We're coming to you live all the time so that you guys can get free and have eternal life and have a relationship with God, because we're only here for one purpose and one purpose only. We're here to be redeemed back to God so we can worship him and worship him only.
See, one of the things is that God desires that no one suffers.
Amen.
No one suffers or is destroyed. And God is a spirit. And, you know, God is like speaking to all of us, but we can't hear. We don't have ears to hear.
Right.
So what happens is He touches individuals like us. And we are so grateful and so honored that he changed our lives that we feel commanded by God to be his voice, to be his voice piece so that you could hear. Because your spiritual ears are deaf. Yeah. Your spiritual eyes are blind. Your spiritual body is lame. Yeah. And we are called to lift you up, to resurrect your dead body, to resurrect that your spirit. Dead spirit,
yeah.
To resurrect and to open up your blind eyes so that you can see, to open up your deaf ears so that you can hear. God has anointed us to give us that power to bring it to you. This is the issue that I find that we run into. Your heart has to be open to receive.
Yes.
If you're not open to receive, your eyes cannot open. Your ears cannot open. Your heart can't receive. He says, "Lo, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and enter in."
Yes.
That's we need you to hear the knock. We're knocking tonight. You heard from Pastor Sam. You heard from Pastor Tim. I had to step out for a moment. I heard the conviction and the love and the anointing coming out of them. And if that cannot open your eyes, I feel that I have pity on your soul. There's something there that is blocking. And we have to get to the root of it. And this is where it comes into personal ministry. Yeah. And I want to open up the airwaves and the phone lines and the emails and whatever else we can make ourselves available for a personal one-on-one ministry so that we can speak directly to your heart. Right now, we're speaking as a whole. Not everyone has the same issues. Not everyone Correct. Is afflicted with the same pain.
True.
But we are here to minister one-on-one to you to get to the roots.
Yeah, because we all have issues and we all have pain. Everybody has issues and they all have pain, just not the same.
Exactly right. The pain is manifesting in different situations. But there are roots of issues. And if we don't get to the root of these Correct. Issues... we can take the spiritual axe, so to say, and chop at this root to set you free. So, this is why we encourage you to come out, come visit us, or somehow reach out to us through email or phone or what have you.
And, there's a lot of people that are suffering out there, and it's not because you're a bad person or you did anything wrong. It's because you had a lack of knowledge. And God only is allowing this to happen for one purpose.
Yeah, let me
to see his glory.
Let me add to what you're just saying.
Yeah.
Because they had lack of knowledge, as I said in the beginning, these spirits tend to cuddle you, make everybody else don't understand you.
That's true.
So that they become your best friend.
Yep.
You don't realize it.
And you rely on them.
Exactly right. All of a sudden... it's only you.
Right. Right.
Nobody else knows. Nobody else understands. It's my pain. You can't relate.
And that's the ego. That's your ego speaking right there.
Well, what happens is these little entities come in. Yeah. They coddle you. They make you as their best friend. Yeah. And you become one.
Correct.
That's where the ego manifests itself to be self-centered.
Yeah.
Yep. The enemy's biggest weapon against you is making you believe that he's you.
Yep.
That's his biggest weapon.
Exactly right.
Once he gets you to think that he's you, it's over because you believe that's who you are, but it's not who you are, It's not.
And then that's exactly what happens. What happens is you take on a different identity.
Correct.
Yes. Yep.
What we're trying to do is have you take on a different identity. Take on the divine nature,
eternal,
which we call Christ, which will get you to think a certain way, and then your thoughts that were thinking another way no longer think that way. How many people are beginning to understand this? And then all of a sudden, because your thought pattern has changed and you're no longer being coddled by the other thing who wants to eventually destroy you.
You start growing up.
Yeah, it eventually wants to rob you, eventually wants to take everything that you have. In the beginning, they don't come off like that.
Right.
They don't come off like they're out to destroy your life. They're deceivers, and they come off like, a good friend. But the outcome is they take you in the room, and they beat you up, and they rape you, and they rob you, and everything else.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you turn around and you go to yourself, oh my God, what happened? You know, it's like, oh my God, what happened?
Why am I naked?
But by then, it's too late.
Yeah.
By then, it's too late. You know, it's a sad thing to enter into that place where Pastor Tim said earlier, you receive a debased mind. That debased mind, it's like you have been convinced that nobody knows, nobody can help you, nobody understands, and you know everything. When you reach that point, I'm going to say that's hopeless.
Yeah.
And I hope that those out there are not like that are listening. I hope and pray that you hear the words and you start renouncing that attitude.
Yeah.
You renounce that mind and say, oh my God, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
You see, not saying that you actually are a sinner, but in the sense that you had sin that was birthed, that took over and consumed you. And now you are no longer who you really are. You're another different person. I have seen someone transform into a pretty evil person. And it's pretty sad. And it's like nobody understands, nobody cares, everybody's, you know, blah, 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 whatever it is.
That's most of the world. And most of the world out there who doesn't have this truth is like that. I mean, they don't have a clue. They're hopeless. They really don't have a hope in them. So if that's you, listen, like I said, log on the website. Start getting this in you somehow. Start getting this truth in you. But better than that, come out to the service.
Yes.
Send us an email. We'll give you a phone number to call if you want to talk. We'll talk to you. This is our job. See, Pastor said earlier that this is our job. This is mm-hmm. what we do. This is our calling. Other guys do other things. This is our thing right here. This is our calling right now, is to be up here giving truth.
You know, on our website, I was looking at it today. There's an awesome response page on there. If you just click on the response and you type out your name and, you know, your email, and you can tell us verbatim what your need is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us some feedback on what your need is, because we'll pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll keep you in prayer, because, you know, God left 99 to go after the one.
Mm-hmm. Give us your email too, because
we'll
give you a word. Pastor might have a word for you of
exactly.
encouragement or direction. Listen, the greatest thing is when he gives you a word and he doesn't have a clue who you are, anything about you, and the word lines up with what's already in your heart. Then you start realizing this place is real.
And it comes to
send
pass.
Him send emails here. Give us your email address. I'm putting him on the spot, but he can do it. He'll start throwing.
That's okay. I love the challenge.
He'll start throwing things at you, and you won't believe where it came from. You'll know
that's
God
right.
knows. You'll know that God's alive, and that he knows you're alive, and he knows who you are. So give us a shot. Give this place a shot, and watch God. Watch, realize how that God knows you're alive. He's alive.
You know what else? I spoke with this woman earlier today, and she's actually going through some weekly counseling. And what is actually taking place is some people counsel for depression and try to help them out of depression, where we don't counsel to help you out of depression. We counsel and show you direction of life.
Correct, yeah.
How to get a life. And there are certain things that I said to her, and no, and only her had it in her heart.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I think maybe you should go out and buy this. And I think maybe you should go out and do this. And she was like, oh my goodness, that's what I was feeling and thinking, and that's what my husband wants. But, you know, I'm concerned with money.
Right.
And I'm like, don't be concerned about money. You know, just go ahead and move forward and watch your life. Because you're gonna get excited. you're going to have a lot of things that you're going to need to do, and it's going to take you out of that realm of depression. Yep. See, people have to understand how to come into a life. Correct. A life is living, and it's moving, and it's flowing. And if you're just like laying there doing nothing with your head in your hands, and you're basically in a position of just not doing anything,
that's depression.
Depression comes in.
Because you don't think you can do.
Well, notice.
Because the powers of darkness,
yep,
that's where you're leaving an open door,
yep,
for those things that we were taught. That's how open doors, yep, come in, and next thing you know, they start working on your head.
Yep. Notice how Pastor said about the depression, how we don't even go deal with it. We change your mind. We start giving you the truths in your mind, and your whole mind, the whole way of thinking starts changing, and that depressive thoughts that you used to have just vanish, because, yep, all of a sudden you start resisting them.
Exactly.
Once,
right,
you resist them and you're filling your mind with truth, and there's no longer just that lie in there, but there's truth, mm-hmm, there now, now you have a choice. See, before all you had was lie. Once you start getting truth inside of you, you have a choice. You then all of a sudden have a free will. Now you have a free will to choose truth or to lie. And then the more truth you get, the more truth you're going to choose, because your mind's going to be filled with more truth than lie. And pretty soon you're transformed into that truth. And that's how it works.
Yeah. You have to keep your mind occupied, and you have to tear down the negative forces. How many of us tend to meditate on just negative things? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to be able to do this? How is this going to work? How is that going to work? It might not sound negative. You might just be thinking of how to accomplish your goals. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're negative thoughts. Because you're saying, how is it going to happen? And you got to be careful about those thoughts. You can't be dwelling, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. This is your problem. You can't lay it down. You have too much control. You feel as though that you have to figure it out.
Correct.
God knows the desires of your heart. You have to be opened, and you have to just go by the wind. And let the wind blow you in the direction that you need. Because God wants glory. And this is what I'm trying to lead us all to. A relationship with God, and allow His glory to manifest in your life. Because when He does something that you cannot comprehend or imagine, all you can do is look up and say, thank you, God.
Right.
This is amazing. I was minding my own business. I was doing my own thing. And this guy comes out of nowhere. And next thing you know, I just shared about what I'd like to do. And here he's, you know, he works in textiles or whatever. What is that thing called?
Textiles?
Yeah, textiles. He works in textiles. And he has all these avenues and resources. And he's getting out of the business. And he just wants to turn it over to somebody. You don't know far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. But you're getting all worked up, tearing out your heart, trying to figure it out, trying to see how it's going to work, using your reasonings, using your thoughts, and they just won't glorify God. You're still being glorified.
The scripture says, this is one of the most important scriptures that there is in the whole Bible. It says, be careful that you don't fall short of my rest. There remains a rest for the people of God. And what Pastor was just talking about is not resting. It's you trying to fulfill. It's you trying to figure it out. You trying to do it. Instead of just sitting back and worshiping God and worshiping him. And like Pastor said, you're minding your own business. All of a sudden somebody comes up to you and says, hey, here's a business. Here's this, here's that. Because you're resting. When you rest, God's at work. When you're at work, God's not working. He can't work together with you. He says, if you live by your strength, you'll die by your strength. But there's a rest for the people of God. He says, be careful that you don't fall short of it. There's a rest that we're all looking for, that the whole world's looking for. And that's what we're offering. We're offering that truth that leads to a place of rest.
See, we didn't even tap in to the power of God yet.
Not yet.
When you begin to give your life over to the creator of the universe, or the universe, or however you want to define the higher power, which we call God, there's a power that is released on your behalf. And that power will spark an idea. That power will spark a movement, and you'll begin to be inspired by, you know, inspired to do something, and within you, and all of a sudden you'll be like, man, I just feel like I got to go do this.
And you'll have the energy to do it.
You'll have the energy. Yeah. You'll have
excitement.
The excitement. The doors will open up, and all of a sudden things just get done.
Your life becomes incredible.
Yep.
It's no longer a labor. It's more a love. It's a relationship. It's no longer laboring, like you said earlier, doing the same things over and over for different results. It becomes an adventure. That's what life is now.
Yep. And when you fall into this life, it takes you out of depression and it brings an excitement into you. I mean, you could be doing really nothing and still have excitement. With that being said, we got the red light. We got to get closing with our service here. But truly, listen to what, you know, these men and I have to say. We have been moved and touched by God in a very interesting and miraculous way. He has ordained us. And when I say we've been ordained, it's because if we don't follow through with what our call is, we feel a reverence fear of God that we're going to get smited. And I'm being honest. If we walk away from it, we just feel like our whole world will just crumble and we won't be able to receive the blessings that we know that are coming. And those blessings are peace and joy and happiness, yeah. You know, and having a sense of righteousness. If you walk away from the call, you're going to, I'm speaking for myself. I'll feel dirty. I'll feel as though that I let God down because of what, you know, he has done in my life. I probably wouldn't be able to really cope. I might even start developing bitterness inside of me, you know. And who knows what else might start forming. But at the same time, that's how we know. Because of the reverence fear of God. Not that he's a mean God, but he's a loving God. He just, when he calls you, you need to
answer
the call.
We have no choice.
We have no choice.
We don't have a choice.
So we're declaring this message really out of the obedience of God.
Correct.
Yes, we wish you would hear us. Yes, the greatest desire is that you would embrace what we're having to say. We would love to fill the place up and have exciting people come to hear the word, you know, that we have to speak.
Well, we got to keep speaking no matter what.
It's like, look, we can run, but we can't hide. Yeah. God will always find us out. You know, it's kind of like when Adam was walking in the, God was walking in the garden and Adam was hiding. He knew where Adam was. Adam was feeling guilty.
Yeah.
You know? I let God down because I didn't pursue him today, you know? And it's like, same thing. If I'm not in the call and I'm out of the call, I feel nasty. I feel guilty. I'm like, man, there's a conviction that overwhelms me where I got to get back into the call.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're chosen. We're chosen for this time and this season to help you out.
Yeah, and we wish
with
all our heart that you do hear.
Yeah.
And that you begin to apply and change the way you're thinking. Embrace the supernatural. Embrace the fact that there are realms of darkness that are really looking to destroy your life.
Yeah.
And embrace the fact that you don't deserve to be bound.
Correct.
You didn't do anything wrong.
You didn't.
And because you're bound, there's a root there that we have to get to. Now, that root could be buried very, very deep. But I've seen God heal people where you would think that they didn't even deserve a healing. And next thing you know, boom, they're healed, delivered, and set free. I know I was one of them. You know, it was like my life was completely changed, and there was no reason for that to take place. But it happened. And I was totally delivered of everything. And my wife's a witness. She saw it. And you know, it's just amazing. Now there's a fire burning that just cannot be quenched. And with that being said, I hope this same fire touches you and that you begin to open your heart up and let this power of God come in. It's literally, it's there. It's just waiting to come in.
It's waiting to come in.
It's just waiting to come in.
And that's why you're listening to us, because God's about to unveil it in your heart. Yes. Otherwise, you'll be listening to us. People don't find us by accident. So listen, just keep listening and watch what happens to your life. Stay faithful to this ministry and watch your life change.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.